This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Of the Sports Ethos Bulls coverage show, and I said it different again, Trey. I don't know. I can never get that right. Who knows? Sports Ethos Bulls coverage. You know, whatever.
That way, everyone knows we do it live every time.
Whatever order you want to put those words in, that's what we are. I am your host Keith Cork, and I'm here, of course, as always, with my good buddy and co-host Trey Hill, and we are excited because we are joined today by Buzz of Sox on Tap and Bulls on Tap, better known as Buzz on Tap on Twitter. Buzz, man, how are you doing, my friend?
Good, man. I'm really excited to talk Bulls basketball with you guys, even though we're on a little bit of a slip here. It's still awesome because, you know, we're doing well. And I'm just glad to be here drinking a beer with you guys, and let's chop it up.
Yeah, bottoms up, man. Hey, speaking of beer, what are you drinking today?
Miller Lite.
Is that your go-to? Yeah.
I'm 30 now, so the craft beers that I used to partake in my early 20s are behind me because I just get the gnarliest headaches, and I found that I can drink like 15 Miller Lights and still be functional. So like that's where I stick now, you know, usually for my tailgates and stuff. But it's a work night, so I'm only have a couple.
Fair enough. I had the opposite route. You know, I used to only drink like Keystones and whatnot.
Keystones.
Now I'm on the craft beer wagon, but I only drink a few, so I get you, man. But no, Buzz, we're excited to have you, man. We're just going to chat some Bulls, guys. Again, this is a Sports Ethos Bulls coverage show. And listeners, please take a moment to follow at Ethos Fantasy BK on Twitter, the single most dominant basketball and fantasy news feed on earth. Get all your NBA news in one handy Twitter feed. It's faster than the competition and provides more analysis, too. Again, that's at Ethos Fantasy BK on Twitter. Go follow it now. Don't take my word for it, man. These guys are killer at fantasy. I'm crushing all my fantasy leagues. I'm actually in the top half of all of them. So big thanks and big ups to those guys. Go give them a follow. Big news today, obviously. On the Bulls front, just one headline I really have for you guys. Caruso, probable for tomorrow. So that's some big news, man. Obviously, you're still going to be without Lonzo, Zach, Javonte, and DJJ, and Patrick Williams. So still quite a few bodies out. But Trey, man, walk me through what you think, your thoughts here on getting Caruso back. Is that going to get our defense back to where it needs to be?
I don't know that he's going to be much of a Giannis stopper, which is really where we could use Patrick Williams or Derek Jones Jr. But it will be nice to have him back. The point of attack defense has definitely been slacking lately. The effort's been there, but just in terms of the overall talent, it hasn't been. So it'll be nice to have him back for sure, especially with point guard Io. I think having Caruso as, you know, that secondary ball handler for Io will be nice for him in that backup point guard role. Well, I guess starter point guard role right now.
Yeah, Buzz, are you excited to see Mr. Alex Caruso take some cookies again?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when Alex Caruso left the team with his injuries, he had various injuries over the last month. He had a hammy injury, he had a foot injury, he battled COVID. I mean, this guy has been what Billy Donovan said the other day in his press conference, yesterday, about him not really having the same situation the other players had on this team, because he was in and out all month. It's not like he just missed a sum of time and then he was back. It was like he is literally like, okay, yeah, he played like two games. He was out two games and he came back for a stretch and he was out again. So he's missed a lot of time. But in that time he's missed, you watch the Bulls slip from a top 10 defensive team. They're 20th in the league right now in defense. Mm-hmm. That's a drastic drop. And yes, Lonzo Ball is out as well. Our size isn't that great, which watches us get beat up in the paint and on the boards. But losing Caruso proved to be a a big blow. And it just shows you how key rotational players are on a championship or a playoff contending team. Like, I mean, it's just it's going to be refreshing to see him back. I definitely see a minutes limit since he's been gone for so long, especially with two separate, you know, lower body injuries. Right. But I'm glad to have him back. I can't wait. I hope he really plays tomorrow. I hope he gets some good minutes in. At least I would at least 15 minutes. I'd like to see Caruso play tomorrow night, if not more.
He really did endear himself to the fans by sticking it out, playing as much as he could when we had so many other guys out. And so it was. I'm glad that he was able to get out and get healthy after putting himself through that to kind of help the Bulls not drown during that first COVID, you know, ordeal.
Right.
And here's why I'm excited about, you know, Caruso coming back. I think this is a team that is missing its identity, missing its heart. You know, I think there's been some good effort in the last couple games, but the two games that preceded that were just piss poor performances, obviously. Really hard to watch. Not fun at all. So, you know, Caruso, I think, you know, if you're talking about the heart and soul of the team, he has the ability to be that guy. I think we saw that in the first stretch of, you know, a dozen to two dozen games. And like you said, he's been out for a long time. So, you know, hopefully he's still got that in him. I think he does. I think he's a very skilled player on both ends of the floor, obviously. He's just a nice glue guy. But like Trey said, you know, we do have the Cleveland Cavaliers up next. They have a ton of size. I don't know how much Caruso helps with that size. He might end up playing power forward a bit for us, which is going to be tough, man. If you're playing Evan Mobley and Jared Allen down there, that's those are some big boys to roll with when you're, you know, 6 foot, whatever, 3'4" Alex Caruso, man.
It proved to be tough in the game one matchup with those two teams. The Bulls lost that game 115-92. The size that Cleveland possesses is pretty damning to a Chicago Bulls team that does not possess size. And not to mention, if Lonzo, I know he's not playing, but if he were playing and Caruso is playing at full capacity and Cleveland was at full capacity with a guy like Colin Sexton and Darius Garland running around the damn court, Cleveland got a pretty nice little team, and I hate it because I hate Cleveland. I hate it. I cannot stand it.
We've got a Joakim Noah on the show.
I appreciate
you guys covering for me. I actually said Giannis. I had that Friday game on the brain, but Cleveland's and I wanted to. I appreciate that, but
you
no,
mess ups, it, man. Cleveland's I just covered right up.
Cleveland's even worse because of the size you guys mentioned. Yeah. They just, and I think you mentioned last show, Keith, you think that Cleveland is your kryptonite matchup in the playoffs. They're who you don't want to see in round one because of that size.
And I thought a little bit more about that, too. I think I might throw Toronto up there, too, just how well they're playing recently. Between those two teams, man, those are going to be some tough outs if the Bulls get those guys in the playoffs. So a little scary for us just because of the lack of size. But I'm hoping that the Bulls, you know, make a trade here and get something here. But we'll talk about that a little later in the show. Buzz, I want to talk about you for maybe 10 minutes here, man. Oh, so man, tell me a little bit about now you sound like and I don't know much about you, you know, personally, but you do sound like a native Chicagoan. Do I have that right? Am I right on there?
I'll try to rep it if I can. I come from like 10 minutes south of Chicago. So I lived in Blue Island for a real long time. So I was like, you know, was a southwest a little bit, maybe. Yeah, something like that. About a little southwest of the city. You throw a rock from Blue Island, you hit Chicago. So I grew up there, single father home, with my old man. And I think the reason I'm a big sports nut is because we didn't have an air conditioner. We might have lived in a trailer park before we got out here to New Lenox, not where I'm at now. But we had Bears and Bulls season tickets. So priorities, right? You know, it's just priorities. I'm from.
So let me get this straight. So no air conditioning, but you had season tickets. So
I didn't have a bedroom.
You didn't have a bedroom. Okay.
No. not until I was like 10 or 11 and we came out here to the even more southwest now in New Lenox, you know, suburb of Joliet. So that's
Do you really need your own bedroom until you're like 10 or 11?
Yeah, I think so.
I think you do.
You got to share a bed with my dad, man, you know. But it's cool, man. We went to games all the time, and I wouldn't trade it for the world, you know. It was super cool. So, yeah, I'm a Southsider, so I'm a huge Sox guy. I never got a Sox season ticket plan just because they're so cheap to go to, man. I was never going to commit money to that. Like, yeah. So I went with the Bulls, and I've kept the Bears ticket since my dad got rid of them. I kept the Bears tickets, and me and my buddy Juice, who's also a part of On Tap, we decided back in 2016 or 17 that we were going to do Bulls. So we have Bulls tickets now too. So just Chicago dude that will never leave the Illinois because of the sports teams. I'm locked here because of it.
Yeah, man, I feel you there. I mean, I'm in Kansas now. I grew up a little bit west. I grew up in Elgin. You're probably familiar where that is.
Yep,
so
I know Elgin.
I lived in the city proper for about 5 or 6 years before my wife made me move. But no, man, if I were to go back, it would be for the sports teams. I follow the sports teams religiously. I think, you know, guys like us that do this kind of thing, it's just something that we grow into and you know, it's just part of our identity. So I feel you on that one, man, definitely. So tell me a little bit about your Bulls story. So you said you're 30. So did you get a chance to really watch, you know, the Jordan Bulls, or did you really get to the Bulls after that?
Again, so like, I don't remember life without sports, you know, or at least being around it. I would love to tell you I remember this wholeheartedly and fully in my mind, but I don't. But I was at like game 2 or 3 of the 97 NBA finals with my dad.
Nice.
But again, I was born in 91, so I was like 6, 7 years old, right. You know, so I wasn't, you know, I don't really remember that. When everything starts becoming fresh in my memory as far as the Bulls go, it was really like the 2000, and it's funny to say, but it was like the 2000-2001 Chicago Bulls. You just drafted Elton Brand, and then you decided to move on from that in the 2001 NBA draft by getting Eddie Curry and Tyson Chandler, and that's when Allen Iverson was at his height in Philadelphia, was killing everybody, was amazing. So, like, that's when my basketball, like, prowess, I guess, and just love just totally budded. It was there. And then when my favorite player ever got drafted, and outside of Michael Jordan, so let's all calm down here.
Right.
Outside of Michael Jordan. In 2003, a man named Kirk Heinrich joined the Chicago Bulls. That's when I, like, was a full diehard all the time. I didn't cheer for any other players or any other teams. I was a Kirk Heinrich and Chicago Bulls fan. So yeah, that's basically the story of my Bulls fandom. Again, I've just been, oh my God, the hat is amazing.
I just, you can't see me, obviously this is a podcast, but I just flipped out my other Bulls hat for my Kirk Heinrich Bulls hat, which I believe I got on clearance after the Bulls got rid of Kirk and he got traded to Atlanta. I got some Kirk Heinrich sandals too. which pretty nice. I actually have a full Kirk Heinrich get up. If I want to, man, it's pretty insane. That's one of the things when I moved to Kansas, I was talking to the guy that like runs the Y over here, and he was like, dude, I used to like play with Kirk Heinrich or knew him or something. Cause he obviously Kirk's, you know, Kansas guy when he was a Jayhawk. So, that's kind of one of the weird connections here to Kansas, with the Bulls, but yeah, man, I was a big Kirk fan too. So that kind of takes care of one of my questions for you is, you know, outside of Jordan and Derrick Rose, who's your favorite Bull? So you're a Kirk Heinrich guy. Why is that, man? Do you identify with him? Did you play when you were younger?
Yeah, so I played from when we got out here in 4th or 5th grade. I played at the Catholic school I was at back in the BI. And then when I moved out here, I made the team in 4th or 5th grade. I can't remember what grade it was, but I was all the way on until freshman year of high school, until skateboarding and everything else became cooler and, you know, whatever. But yeah, I played ball. But my connection with Kirk, I think, was just because, you know, he was a hard-nosed defender. That's like, in my mind, it's like one of the greatest drafts of all time, the 2003 NBA draft. And, you know, I think that when we, you know, it was like LeBron James, you know, Darko Milicic, Carmelo Anthony, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, you know, that was a stacked draft. But we got Kirk because Jay Williams the year before wrecked his motorcycle, so he wasn't going to be our point guard anymore. And, you know, just getting behind a young team, I think that's fun when you're a kid. You know, yeah, it's always fun when your team's winning, kicking ass all the time. But when they're not and you get to, like, try to cheer for them to build into something cool, like being a Bulls fan from, like, 03 to 05 was awesome because you saw, like, okay, yeah, Kirk, Ben Gordon, Lou Alden. You know, like it became something really cool again, even though they didn't obviously win a ship or anything like that. But it became really cool again. So I think that Kirk he was the leader of that. He was Captain Kirk. So I think that's just why he became my favorite guy, you know.
Yeah, man.
He was the first one that was good. You know, we had Curry and Chandler and we had all these high expectations for them. But everyone on that team kind of fizzled out, it seemed like. But Captain Kirk was the guy who stuck around. And the style of his play, I feel like, after having, you know, we had Jordan and then we had such disappointing teams, to have someone like Kirk come in, play the right way, do everything kind of the right way, I think that meant a lot to the team because Chicago fans appreciate good quality basketball.
And they more so than good quality basketball, man, you hit the nail on the head. But one more thing is they appreciate a hard effort. Yeah. And that's what
Blue collar, hard work.
So now, Look at Caruso now. He's MVP chance, man. And I'm not going to sit here and lie to you guys. You damn well know in section 328, I was chanting MVP for Caruso when he was at the line. I don't care. Like, people are, you cover the NBA and you cover the Bulls. It's like, well, yeah, man, but I'm still a homer too. You know, like, if people are, you know, like, giving it their A-plus effort out there, how do you not love and respect that? So,
man, I can remember coming back home from a game one day, and you know, I was with my friends. We were 20 something, right? I'm with like four or five other dudes, and you know, we're just coming from a Bulls game where we won. It was a game that we won by enough that Scalabrine got in, and I just remember starting Scalabrine chant in the city bus. Everyone's doing it, and it was just like one of my favorite memories, man, for sure. But
that's so cool, dude.
So here's a question I like to ask every guest on here. So we're gonna, you know, good times. We had some good times here. I'm gonna bring it down a notch here. Where were you when Derrick Rose tore his ACL?
I was there.
You were there.
Yeah, I had tickets. I had tickets with the Juice, man. Again, good buddy of mine. We all have nicknames. You know, I don't know how it happened, but it did. But yeah, Juice and I were there. We bought tickets to Game One and Game Two because we thought like that 2011 season. Like, because 2010, 2011 is when he won the MVP. So 2012 season. Lockout season started on Christmas. Derrick Rose, out of 66 games that year, only played like 39. Anybody listening to this, fact check me. I'm pretty sure I'm right. I'm pretty sure it was 39 games he played that year. We got in the playoffs. I had under the assumption, like, okay, well, he missed some time, so he should be even more fresh. You know, like, because it wasn't the grind. You know, because in his MVP year, he missed one game, and that one game was against Denver, and he had a neck injury, and that's when Carmelo hit a game winner. So, like, you know, Derek had a rough 2011-2012 with the injuries and lockout season, and we got the tickets, man, because Rip Hamilton was our shooting guard, and I'm like, dude, he's 10 times better than Keith Bogans. This is the guy Derek needs. He can't create a shot, but if you kick Rip the ball, he could dribble up, he could hit the midi. I thought we were going to win a title. So we got the playoff tickets, and we went, man, and – that was like the second worst Chicago sports moment I think I was ever a part of, like being in the stands for that. Like, the air just completely came out of the place. Yeah. Game two sucked. I mean, because Noah ended up, you know, getting hurt and shit. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. But that's where I was, man. I was there.
So what was first? So you said second worst. Yeah. What was the first worst then?
First worst Chicago. Johnny Knox getting bent.
Oh, yeah.
I thought he died. I was just. That is like, I've never really like been scared or anything or teared up or anything like that. But when Knox got bent like that, and they showed it on the screen too, like, and it was just so gnarly. And I was like, oh my God, I thought, because he didn't move. It was real bad. So that was the first one. But the Derek is definitely the second one.
You were right. You were right. He did play 39 games. I already got it, man. I got it up here. 39 games. So you're on top of your game here, man. All right. Like, good stuff. Good stuff. Just walk me through here. You know, give me your thoughts here, just briefly on Garpacks. You know, how'd you feel about Garpacks? They were with the organization for a long time. Had they run out their welcome? I think we all can pretty much agree on that. But like, you know, maybe about 4 or 5 years before they got fired, there was kind of two groups of people, right? There were apologists, and then there were people that were, you know, pretty much calling for their jobs. So which side of the divide did you fall on at that time?
4 or 5 years ago? If it was 4 or 5 years ago, I probably fell in the middle a little bit. And I'll tell you why. It's just because I was respecting the draft choices they had kind of made. And I was kind of a guy, not where I was apologizing for them or anything like that, but they thought they had a fucking slick plan. And that was that Derrick Rose was going to carry them into, you know, superstardom, into the playoffs, possible championships. They drafted a guy like Jimmy Butler at number 30. They drafted a guy like Taj Gibson. You know, they had Noah, they had Dang, and then all that kind of fell apart. The biggest thing that a lot of people got mad at them about was the three alpha thing, and that's where they lost me. We want to get young and more athletic, right?
Yeah, right.
That didn't Rondo happen. And Dwayne Wade, you know, like, what? Listen, if you said you wanted to compete and you were going to swing for the fences, I wonder if Chicago would have been more receptive to that.
Right.
Instead of saying, like, no, this is going to be our plan to rebuild because we want to win. That's where they lost me, was a three alpha thing. I still love the move that they made on draft night by trading Jimmy Butler to the Minnesota Timberwolves. I love Jimmy Butler. I do not buy any Chicago Bulls jerseys, man. Like, I always feel weird because, like, I'm older than them now. It's like this weird thing I have with myself. But, like, I have a Jimmy Butler jersey. You know, like, I loved Jimmy. So it's not that I didn't like him, but it was time for a new direction. I didn't think he was going to work. I liked that move, but everything they did after that too, I was like, nah. Like, you know, selling the second round pick, everybody gets mad about that. Please, Jordan Love's – or Jordan Love. I'm sorry, football. Jordan Bell's out of the league. Mm-hmm. You know, he just had his 10-day contract end with the Bulls like 3 or 4 days ago, you know.
Right.
They just made a lot of dumb moves, and I don't think that they had the ability to convince. And when we got our season tickets, we were fortunate enough to sit down with Gar and Pax at a season ticket holder event. And I got to ask a question, and I said, how do you make this team competitive? Mm-hmm. There was no mention of bringing in, you know, free agents that will complement the talent that you signed. It was basically getting this young talent and hoping they mesh. And unfortunately, it didn't happen for them. It was time to move on. They ran their course. They had a couple of successful seasons.
Yep.
Obviously, a championship is the mecca, but you know how hard that is to win in the NBA and any sport, really. But it was time for them to go. So that's where I was at with it. I was
there's just a lot of hot takes, you know, especially with being Chicago, being a big market. There's a lot of people that are, you know, hey, championship or bust. It's not that way, man. There's, you know, 29 other teams trying to accomplish that. Like you said, it takes a lot of skill, and it also takes a lot of luck. And, you know, the Bulls have been rather unlucky, especially with that Derrick Rose injury. Speaking of which, how'd you feel? Let me ask you about one more moment in time before we move on here with the Chicago Bulls. How'd you feel about Nazi Muhammad shoving LeBron James like to the floor and just destroying him? But tell me what your thoughts were in that moment.
I was at that one too, and that was sweet. Yeah, it was sweet. Yeah, love Nazi, and I love Nazi for that reason alone. Not that he's just a local product, but I mean, I thought that was amazing. You know, LeBron, like, that's a thing, man. Now that I'm older, it's so weird. Like, cause I'm not like getting over the hill or anything, guys. I know I'm 30, like, you know, but I got one gray here in the beard. But it's just. I've started to appreciate his body of work a little bit more now that I finally gotten off the MJ versus LeBron train, like, because I was on that for a long time. But with age and gray brings perspective a little bit, and I appreciate what he's done, but I still think he's a punk, though. So I'm like, that's why I'm.
I was gonna say, is it really age and perspective, or is it the fact that LeBron's legacy has just kind of been settled for the last couple years?
You know what? That's probably. Yeah. Hey, thank you.
Because I really think when it comes to the MJ LeBron argument, it's really about peak versus longevity. Fair. And at this point, like,
LeBron's been very good for a very long time. Yep.
Yeah, we love you, LeBron. You're the second best player ever, and that is nothing to sneeze about.
Yeah,
well, he's actually third. MJ, Kirk, LeBron.
All right. Fair enough. No, it's good, man. Yeah, I think I've told the story before on this pod, but I actually saw Nazi Muhammad in a gym. I coached against his son. Scottie Pippen's son was also on that team. They were both there at the gym. And I approached him and I said, hey, man, I was talking to him about that shove. And he, of course, said to me, I asked him, would you do it again? And he said, in a heartbeat. Like, he was like, heck yeah. I was proud of that moment. I was like, okay.
He should be. Absolutely.
Much respect, man. Much respect. So, good times, man. Good times. But yeah, so let's move on to talking about the modern Bulls, obviously. So, a little bit of Bulls history there for you guys. But obviously, guys, we haven't been very good recently. We're on a 4-game losing streak, our worst of the season, obviously. Trey, give me your thoughts, man. Obviously, we got a lot of bodies down, but what else are you seeing in this 4-game losing streak that you wish, you know, the Bulls were doing better? You know, why are we just dropping games left and right, man?
So I went on a website called B-Ball Index to look at their defensive versatility ratings before I came on this, because I wanted to see where Lonzo Ball ranked, honestly, you know, overall in the league. And to my surprise, Javonte Green is actually the Bulls' most versatile defender, and he is the fifth most versatile defender in the entire NBA of guys that have played at least 500 minutes. That's kind of their threshold.
But okay, Patrick Williams, was he on that list or no?
No, he was too. Yeah, I don't think he had enough minutes. And then
he only played five games. Yeah.
Okay,
was actually second. So the Bulls missing their two most versatile defenders, according to, you know, the defensive metrics, along with Lonzo Ball and Caruso. Those are the things that stick out to me. When you have a team that wasn't expected to be good on defense in the first place by the pundits, and you take away, you know, probably what, their four best defenders?
Yeah, definitely.
That, really, when you think about it, their four best defenders aren't playing at the moment. Well, you're not going to have much success, so... To me, I want to see the effort. I want to see the competitiveness. I want to see Io continue to develop. But for me, it's just kind of about maintaining a top 3 or 4 seed. You bank those wins. So yeah. Now kind of steady the ship.
Yeah, let me talk about the defensive, you know, rating here, because I actually tracked their defensive rating. I know I've been talking about it and alluding to it on this show several times, but I actually took a look on NBA.com and just kind of filtered by dates. So the defensive rating for the Bulls are currently sitting on 19th on the season in defensive rating. Between October 20th and October 28th, they were fourth. That's with everybody completely healthy. So fourth through the first 8 days of the season. The 28th of October through the 20th of December, that's without Patrick Williams, 15th. So they dropped from fourth to basically middle of the pack just from not having Patrick Williams. And of course, there are, you know, a couple guys are here and out here and there. But mostly that was just Patrick Williams being out. November 12th through November 22nd, this is without Vooch, we were 16th. So basically the same, slightly worse. The 26th of December through January 1st, we were 19th in defensive rating. So slipped even further, and that's without Caruso and without Lonzo Ball. Both of those guys were out during that stretch of that period of time. January 3rd through January 14th, we've been – I'll give you guys. You know what? Give me your best guess. What do you think we've been, Trey?
28th.
What do you think, Buzz?
I thought I was going to say probably 26th, probably
24th. So a little bit better than what you guys are saying, but that's without Caruso and Patrick Williams. We've had Lonzo Ball back for that stretch of time, but we've been particularly bad on the defensive end. So anyways, continue. Buzz, your thoughts here on this recent four-game losing streak?
Oh, well, you know, man, it is what it is. You know, you're playing teams that are, you know, you played a couple tough teams. You're shorthanded. You beat yourselves when we lost to Boston. We let up those like 6 points in the last 2 minutes to them to have them come back. You know, a couple turnovers there. We weren't capitalizing. But I mean, again, man, like you're going to get season struggles. That's going to happen no matter what. The Bulls came off a 9-game winning streak, kind of came back down to earth, but they came back down to earth because they're missing guys. Mm-hmm. And that's the guys that were key elements to victory. Not that they would have won all those games with those guys healthy or anything. That's not what I'm trying to say. But, you know, they're a little shorthanded and they weren't playing well. And it is what it is. Like, it's just going to happen. Until you get to full strength again, you start getting that chemistry back on the court, then you'll start winning games consistently again. Until that happens, you're going to kind of be floating around 500 or under it. You know, like, you know, they're lucky they went on that 9-game winning streak when they did. So that's just kind of where I'm at right now. It's hard to judge a team that's on a 4-game losing streak due to players being out. Like, that's tough. You know, it's really hard to call.
And just to take the long view, guys, I mean, you know, like I said, you know, 24th in defensive rating over the last basically 2 weeks or so. And if you put that into context, you know, what you should be happy with is the games that we've won in that period of time, because our defense has just been absolutely atrocious. And like you said, it's been because guys have been out. I mean, you know, like you said, there's not much we can do about that besides just wait for those guys to come back. And we've been, you know, relying on guys like Malcolm Hill and Alphonso McKinney and just guys that are on 10-day contracts, guys that aren't probably going to be on the team long term. Well, McKinney is, but
I mean, you say we can't do anything about that, but you can trade Patrick Williams for Jeremy Grant. Although I guess he's not playing right now either. You could trade him for Harrison Barnes or, you know, another body that's alive at the moment.
And that 4-game losing streak, again, another long view here for fans out there, just so you know, pump the brakes, stop all your, you know, upset, being rabidly upset about this. The four games were against Brooklyn, Golden State, Boston, and Memphis. So four good teams. I mean, you know, Boston's up 500, and that's a game we almost won. But those are pretty good teams, right?
Those are very good teams. I mean, the Warriors are very good. The Brooklyn Nets are very good. And the Memphis Grizzlies are one of the biggest surprises per record right now in the NBA. They are like the fourth youngest team in the NBA, and they are balling behind an MVP candidate. I mean, it's just absolutely insane what they're doing. Like, and it's awesome to see what they're doing. Well-coached team, disciplined as hell. Everybody plays up to their roles. That is like one thing I'm very grateful for is NBA League Pass. I know a lot of people, you know, complain about the price and everything like that, but I'm a junkie when it comes to this, man. Like, I love basketball. Like, I just love it. And I've watched a ton of Memphis Grizzly basketball over the last 2 years, along with New Orleans Pelicans when Zion was healthy with Lonzo and Ingram over there last year. So, like, but watching Memphis, dude, they're I'm telling you now, if Ja can get the 3-point shot down, that team will win a title in the next 4 years. I'm not kidding. Like, I really think that they can. They got the size, they got the contracts to bat. They got money to spend.
Adams has been fantastic there. 100%. His playmaking, like, analytics have just been excellent for a center. Jaren Jackson Jr. has, I think he excels beside another big, and he gets to kind of roam and use that length and size because he's so long, and he gets to contest so many shots out on the three-point line. And Adams is back there to protect the rim.
100%.
They don't shoot threes well, but they do everything else well. And like he said, they're so well coached. So just it's the new grit and grind, and it couldn't be any better for that city.
I 100% agree, and that's why we should take no shame as Bulls fans into losing to Brooklyn, Golden State, and Memphis.
Exactly.
I mean, Boston, I'll hang my head with you and take a shot of being upset about it, but
it was winnable still. Yeah,
those other three, though, man, those are really good teams that are going to make some things happen.
So this was always going to be a tough stretch, and now you take three out of the five starters out, you take six rotational players out, and, you know, it's not surprising, really. And if you're really a smart basketball fan, you really understand that. Obviously, if you're a casual fan, you're probably upset just looking at the losses and going, what the heck? Just to kind of put a little bit more perspective in this, here's our competition. These are all Eastern Conference teams that are in the playoffs right now. Here's their longest losing streaks of the season. The Heat have lost three in a row. Nets have lost three in a row. Cavs have lost five in a row. Bucks have lost 3-0. Sixers have lost 5 in a row. That was when Embiid was out. So 4 in a row. This is probably the worst it's going to be, I would hope. And as we're getting guys back, reading Caruso back for the next one, should have Javante back soon too. He was just assigned to the G League recently, and I believe Zach LaVine should be back also soon. Hasn't really been an update on that, I don't believe. But I think he'll probably be back within the next couple of games. So get those bodies back, and I think that, and play some not as good competition. I think we're cooking here. Let me ask you, Buzz, about Mr. Nikola Vucevic and your thoughts on him, man. Just in general, just give me your thoughts on Nikola Vucevic.
I love Vooch. A lot of people hate Vooch right now. A lot of people want Vooch traded. There is an account. It does not follow me on Twitter, but it popped out of nowhere yesterday. And its handle is at cancel Vucevic. And I'm like, and this dude's like, I listen to your podcast, but you're sticking up for this guy way too much. And I'm like, no. I don't think I am sticking up for him way too much. I think that he's a good player. I think that he's just having a little bit of a rough time. I mean, listen, he's shooting a career low right now, 43% from the field. He's shooting 32% from downtown. I've been saying it all year, and I don't want to keep the excuse going, but I really think and feel those shots are going to start falling because they're all good looks. Like, he's not missing a ton of contested shots. He's missing shots that we have seen him make. So it's just, I'm not 100% sure, where to go from here. And I hate using the argument because a lot of people are going to use this. Well, he's the fifth best center in the league. Okay, well, centers suck now. So what are we talking about here? Like, you have Jokic, Embiid, Cat. Rudy Gobert is a great defensive center. It falls off after that, man. It's not a big market anymore. But I will say this. He's averaging a double-double, okay? 16 points, 11 boards, 3.5 assists. The guy's averaging 1.2 blocks, which if the season were to end today, that is a career high.
Right.
Okay, so yes, the shot's not falling, but he's been a plus defender.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I'm not – listen, yeah, shots not falling, but it doesn't mean he's not doing other things out on the court, all right? He is the third option when this team is healthy to score.
Yep.
So keep that in mind before when Zach or DeMar are missing time and he's not up to the standards of what he was in Orlando being the number one guy.
Mm-hmm.
You got to curb your expectations there. I think he's still playing a good season.
And I know Trey and I... And I know Trey and I were both, before the season started, we were both, saying, this guy anchored a top five defense in Orlando. Like, he's not as bad a defender as people put it. There's been a lot of focus on that because it's very visual. I mean, you can really, really see when he struggles on defense when mm-hmm. teams put him over and over again in the pick and roll. And he's playing that drop coverage and they're just eating it up. And that happens sometimes. And without Patrick Williams, it's really just been exacerbated. It's even worse because you don't have a guy that can get from one end of the floor to the other in such a hurry to cover for a deficiency like that. So this is why, when you got people like, I'm not going to name names anymore because I keep bringing up the same guy's name every week. So I'm not going to name names anymore. But people bringing up trading Patrick Williams or, you know, not as high on Patrick Williams. You're just looking at the box scores. You're just looking at his stats and you're not looking at the game. The game itself, you have to see how he affects specifically the defensive side of the floor.
See, I love that you say that I really do. I really appreciate you saying that because not just in Patrick Williams' defense or anything, because I'm sure we'll talk about that, you know, going on in the show, but watching the game is so damn important. It really is. Like, you can't cover a team if you don't watch the game. I know a bunch of people cannot stand Joe Colley, right? For the Bull, like Sun-Times writer. Yeah. I love Joe, and he's been on our show, and I've gotten to hang out with him at the United Center. But, like, you know, that's just a troll job that he does anyway, and it's, hey, it's working for him, you know, whatever. Yeah. But he said, even though, like, you know, he looks at all these analytics like that, because he used to cover the Sox. And baseball and like analytics took over the baseball world. Now you're starting to see a lot of analytics come over to basketball that weren't there when we were younger guys. It wasn't there like that.
Right.
But he was like, the most important thing is watching the game to see how they help impact it. Because if you looked at a box score, would you think Javonte Green was an impact player?
Nope. Nah, not at all.
Yeah. And look at what he's been and look how sorely he's missed. I'm sorry to interrupt your thought, but I just really appreciated you saying that. Watching
games. It's gotten worse because, you know, obviously we see it every day. We're inundated with this. It's the DFS and sports betting. And I do that. And, you know, Trey and I actually hosted a show about that before we came here. And I enjoyed that stuff. Mm-hmm. But you have to separate that stuff from actually knowing the game of basketball, watching the game of basketball, understanding how it works. And what I, you know, what I said, I brought this up with Daniel Greenberg when he came on our show a couple shows ago, was, you know, how many people were high on Jimmy Butler in season two? Because if you look at his stats were not there. I mean, obviously he didn't have even as big a role as Patrick Williams. So you can point that out. But if you look at this guy's stats and just like, you know, look at it on paper, it's like, oh, Jimmy Butler, he's nothing, right? But the true fans, the real Bulls fans that were watching the games, saw this guy, saw what he could be, you know, understood that, you know, he could develop into that Luol Deng role. So that made Luol Deng a little bit more expendable. I don't know if that was really the right move, but anyways, that's what happened. We were basically saying, like, this is the guy, this guy's going to be huge. This guy's going to be a big deal. And, you know, you're not going to catch that from a box score. It's just not going to happen.
No, you're not. And you're 100% right. It's a great comparison with Jimmy Butler because if you remember when Jimmy came into the league from Marquette, go back and look at year one and year two jump shots from Jimmy Butler and the trajectory of his jump shot. It was a dart. It was a dart. Bent the elbow in, a little bit more lift, a little bit more arc. And that's when he started hitting his shots. The athleticism was there. The IQ was there. The defense was there.
Yeah.
Fixing that jump shot, which is the easiest thing to fix when you get into the league, is your shot. I know a lot of people laugh at that, but you want a testament to that is a guy who's currently playing in Lonzo Ball for the Bulls.
Yep.
Okay. Like, you know, that is the easiest thing to fix is your jump shot. If you have all the other fundamentals in place and you fix your shot, you have a chance to be a very, very effective player in the league.
And Patrick Williams,
you sound like me talking. Okay. What was his name? Josh Jackson. A few years ago.
Josh Jackson from Phoenix? From Kansas products.
Yeah. I heard you say that and I just had like war flashbacks just now.
Josh Jackson's another one, man. Yeah.
Yeah. And Patrick Williams, I mean, he has a jump shot. It's just his release is slow. His ability to read the defense that's coming at him isn't great right now. He's got deficiencies. Don't get me wrong. He's not a fantastic player right now. But when you look at the defensive side of the floor and the way he impacts that, it's very important. And then on top of that, he's still got the upside on the offensive side. What I saw in summer league this season was huge, man. I you know, he was obviously he got some volume shots up and he looked great, man. I love what I saw from him in summer league. I thought this was going to be a huge year for him. And just unfortunately, man, just another injury. And hopefully that's not the case, you know, going forward. But I think, you know, we're selling this Patrick Williams guy short. If you think that we're trading him for Jeremy Grant, I don't think that's a good plan. But going back to Vucevic. OK, let's go back to Vucevic.
I've got some Vucevic stats.
Oh, go ahead. Let me just put this in context for you, Buzz. Trey's been a little bit more of a Vucepologist than I have been. And I don't hate the guy. I think he's a fantastic player and he fits the Bulls very well. But go ahead, Trey.
I'm a Vuce lover. Let's just get that out there. I am a huge Vuce guy. So since December, he is shooting 69% at the rim and 43% in that short mid-range, which tracks with what he shoots. Those are his averages throughout his career. Uh-huh. Do you guys feel like he's been, like, to me, I feel like even though those numbers say it's true, I don't believe it. It still seems like he's been, you know, a little underwhelming around the rim to me. Do you guys feel that way?
Yeah, I feel like his lift isn't there. The dunk that he had, what was that, last night or the night, or not last night, against Memphis. I think he had a dunk. Yeah, you know, that was cool. But I mean, you got to look, man. I mean,
he dunked on Enes Freedom. That's right, Enes Freedom.
Right.
Enes Freedom. But, right. Yes.
So we all kind of agree. We still feel a little underwhelmed over from Vucevic over this last month and a half, right? Mm-hmm. Even though he's putting up the same, you know, the same numbers around the rim. So to me, I wonder, he gets such easy looks. Like we all, what would he have to shoot for us to be happy? I feel like the expectations for him, because he gets such easy looks, I think it's going to be really hard for him to please anyone, because his misses are always going to look so bad.
Yes, his misses are very front and center. So it's really, that's really why he gets a lot of hate. And like I said, I'm not like down on the guy. I think he's the right center for this team. I think, you know, I think it's great to have him now, even if he doesn't end up being our you know, center of the future. And that's the next thing I want to talk about here, is just whether or not you think he's going to be with us, you know, beyond this next season when his contract is up. But I think he's a perfect guy for us now, even if he doesn't end up being that, because I think we're getting a look at what that center looks like in this rotation. And there's a couple of guys in the league that I think you can compare him to. So, I love the fact that he's on the team. His deficiencies are really apparent when they happen. So that's why he gets a lot of hate from, especially from casual fans that aren't watching, you know, the things that are happening off ball and things like that. But he struggled, and I'm not high on him. And that's my next question for you guys is, do you think that Vucevic is the guy that's going to be our starting center for a championship level basketball team? Buzz, your thoughts on that, man?
That's tough. When the team is healthy and moving forward, I'd like to kind of see that. I mean, the sample size for Vucevic in Chicago is still small. So we have to keep that in mind. He signed through this season and next season. 2023 is when he is a free agent, when Nikola Jokic is also a free agent. So that's kind of a fun little Easter egg. I don't know what happens there, because that could be our championship center. But no, I don't know, man. I mean, you're asking the Bulls to win a title within the next 2 years with the Eastern Conference and the injury bug that lives in the Eastern Conference with guys like James Harden, Kyrie Irving, or Kevin Durant. Or, you know, you have the Bucks with Giannis, who Giannis is usually healthy as hell. So, I mean, it's not really – I don't know. I mean, it's tough. But I think he could be. I think it's fair. I think there's an argument to be made. But – I don't know, man. It comes down to being the best in the East and getting through whoever comes out of the West. That's what it comes down to. But I think Vooch has done a fine job. If you're getting out of your third score, if you're getting 16, 11 and 4 or 3.5, whatever, that's pretty good, I think.
Trey, do you think that Vucevic is more valuable to the Bulls next season as their starting center or as a trade chip?
As the starting center, I think with the way the Bulls are set up with DeMar and Zach and Lonzo, Zach and DeMar being such high usage guys, having your third guy be the center who is so good at playmaking, so good at passing, and just kind of being that connective tissue, having him along with Lonzo, it helps the offense somehow manage to not stagnate, even with two, you know, ISO heavy type guys in DeMar and Zach. So to me, I think he could be the center on a championship level team for, say, the next 3 or 4 years. Whether that's the Bulls or elsewhere, I think it has to be the right fit for him. I think he has to be a complimentary player around other players. I think in Chicago, I think he could be that, because he fits so well with Zach, with DeMar, with Lonzo, Caruso, those type of guys, because he has to play that drop coverage. He needs those aggressive point of attack defenders. He needs that aggressive type scheme. But they've built a really good team in Chicago. So I believe in him to be the center for, say, the next 3 or 4 years while this championship window is open for however long it happens to be open.
So here's a little fun game. These are always funny. I know we just talked about how stats aren't everything, but I'm a big basketball reference junkie. I'm always just poking around in there looking at various things, and NBA.com now. NBA.com's done a great job just making their website better and more navigable. But I looked up Vucevic's similarity scores, and of course there's a bunch of guys from before when we watched basketball. So I've got two guys here that are currently in the league that are pretty close to what Vucevic is in similarity scores, and I've got two guys that are no longer in the league, but we definitely watched them play. They watched them play in the 2000s. Can you name any of those four guys? Trey.
No.
No, okay.
How are you going to put me on the spot like that and be like,
good, hey, good answer. Good answer.
Sabonis? Jeez. I don't know.
That's a good guess. Buzz, you got any guesses?
So like centers that are playing like similar stat lines to him?
Yeah.
Similar. Well, I just threw out a power forward, so that shows how well
I'm doing. Okay. That's a good answer.
Man, I don't know. I was gonna. I have no idea, honestly. Like so, Capella. So, is Capella one? Is like 16-12 or something for him?
That's a good guess too. Okay, so here's the four guys I've got. Here's the two guys that are currently still in the NBA. Brook Lopez.
Oh, okay, fair.
That's great. That's a great one.
That is a good comparison, I think. And his Freedom. Not necessarily. I don't know how this guy ended up on this list because he doesn't shoot the three. I don't really know.
Other than the three, though, I see the comparison. Like,
the rebounding.
They both have really good post moves. They both have high usage. They both probably have really high like points per possession on like their post ups. Because Freedom is a really like that's what he gets in the game for. He's definitely not in the NBA for his defense or his political views.
Okay, I've got two more guys here. These guys are both out of the league now, but I'll give you a clue here, Trey. I'll see if you can get it. One of these guys is a NBA champion. Should I give you? He's Australian. And the other guy was in a documentary recently. Yep.
Once I said
he's Australian, I was like, that's kind of a giveaway there. The other guy is Jermaine O'Neal. So Jermaine O'Neal, I don't really get either.
Jermaine but was a defensive G with Indiana for a long time. So
I do like... I do like the Bogut and I do like the Brook Lopez comparison because I was trying to think, you know, if we're comparing the, you know, Vucevic to other guys here, you know, who would he be most similar to? I really like that Brook Lopez comparison. So another guy that I thought that he would be compared to is Pau Gasol. I think that's a really good comparison for him. I think Pau is probably better than Vucevic, just overall better career.
I think Pau's a Hall of Famer. So.
And
I don't know that you need to couch that with a probably, even though this is a Bulls podcast.
Pau Gasol's an ex-Bull. So. But anyways, and then we had somebody mentioned Dirk Nowitzki, but a poor man's Dirk Nowitzki. I kind of like that. Not too much, but I kind of like it. And then we had Vlade Divac was mentioned, which I like that, you know, from the passing standpoint, I think they both have kind of the same court vision almost. Vlade was probably a better passer and obviously a flashier passer than Vucevic. But the reason I want to bring these guys up is because, you know, Vucevic is 31, man. He's 31. He's got one more year left of his contract. How much longer do you guys think we can actually count on this guy to produce at a high level?
What does he do that you think he's going to his lack of athleticism getting older will affect?
I think his defense will be even worse.
Yeah, lateral movement is going to get worse.
He'll still have the shooting. He'll still have the offense. I don't think he'll, you know, he's 7 feet, whatever. I don't think he's ever going to have a problem rebounding the basketball. But I think, yeah, the defense is already, I wouldn't say it's an issue, but it's something that concerns some fans. And it's obviously very, like I said, you can really see it in the game when it's bad. So I think that, you know, that might be something to worry about here. Now, of course, he's 31. So Trey, obviously you have no concerns, right?
I mean, I obviously have some concerns. Just a guy that's, I think NBA.com lists him as 6'10". They have like the actual measurement. So a guy, he's not quite 7 foot, but a very large human being. Being that old, but to me, we already asked him to play drop coverage. The Bulls do everything they can to keep him out of switches already. So, I mean, if he goes from being 50% effective against switches to 30% effective, obviously that's not ideal. But as I think his value is in his defensive positioning, challenging at the rim without fouling. And then on offense, it's shooting and playmaking. So to me, I think he's going to age better than most people think. And he's already shown a willingness to sign a contract that de-escalates. So I think there's going to be value there to be had. And you've heard me over the past, you know, month. I think right now he's playing a little over 30 minutes a game. I'd love to see him closer to like that 28, 26 minutes, especially as he gets older. So then it's not, you know, as much stress on that body.
Any concerns from you, Buzz, on Vucevic's age?
Yeah, Father Time's undefeated. First and foremost, we got to point that out. The only thing that I've really seen this year where I get a little bit nervous about him is the lift on his hook. Go back to his Orlando days when he's backing somebody down to the basket. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think that lift that he might have once had is there, which is forcing him to shoot the ball harder to then hit the rim and bounce off and go the other way. It doesn't fall. He's not getting that lift. Now, when your jump shot's working and you're getting kicked the ball off, you know, from Lonzo or Zach, guys that can kind of get to the rim, or even DeMar gets to the rim or do what they got to do themselves, that's great. But when his jump shot and his middie's not falling, he needs that back to the basket game. That's the only thing I can see that's a worry right now. Other than that, I know what he's going to give us. He's going to be a guy that's for the next at least 2-3 years, he'll give you anywhere from 16 to 18 to 9 to 12 boards a game. And that's
So that's what I'm trying to get to basically is, you know, maybe 2 or 3 years left of what we're looking at with Vucevic. And we're, you know, you look at some of these other guys that we just compared them to and said, you know, that's a pretty good comparison. I mean, Vlade Divac was out of the league at 36. I mean, he didn't even really play through that whole season. Let me see. Jermaine O'Neal, that wasn't even a good comparison. Let's skip him. But obviously, Andrew Bogut out of the league at 34. Brooke Lopez, 33, dealing with a back surgery, I think he just had. And, you know, probably, I don't know if he's even going to come back. I mean, that's a 7-footer with a back surgery. It's kind of scary to me. Pau Gasol is the one guy, you know, of this group of people that we compared him to that had a really good career all the way through, you know, the age 37, 38. So it is possible, obviously, that he continues to produce. But that what you brought up, Buzz, really is kind of my main concern here. And again, this, you know, you never know. These things vary per person. It's individual. People hit their peaks at different times. The best may yet be to come with Vooch. You don't know. But that lift on his jump hook, I mean, he's consistently missing that. And that's not something we saw in Orlando.
Like I said, if you go back and you look at film from Orlando to like this year, here and now, even go look back when he got traded to the Bulls when he came here last year. I feel like it's the okay, so he's backing you down the rim, drop step, he puts his pivot foot over, goes to hook the ball, right? Just the lift is just, it's like me jumping, bro. You know what I'm saying?
It's true,
like,
it's true.
You know, it's just not there right now. And I don't know if that's something he's worked on, maybe, or maybe that's the lift is really gone, or maybe there's an injury, maybe he's not feeling great in the knees. I don't know, but that has been one thing I've seen that's been different from him than what we've seen.
That would be the worst case scenario if he's actually
we thought he was rushing at the beginning of the season.
We
talked about how quick he was using that hook.
He wasn't getting his shoulders square is what I thought. You know, he was basically like releasing it before his shoulders were coming all the way around, which was, you know, leading for it to be short usually. But yeah, go ahead.
Maybe it wasn't the fact that he was rushing and wasn't comfortable in his role. Maybe he just doesn't have that lift anymore and he's trying to compensate by, like, you know, like Buzz just said.
Yeah, and that's the worst case scenario is, you know, obviously this guy is deteriorating before our eyes, and that would be horrible for the Bulls and for their future.
Yeah, we don't want that.
Yeah, but obviously the best case scenario, you know, if you compare him to Pau Gasol, which I think might be my favorite comparison, you know, again, I think Pau Gasol is definitely better. I think we can all agree on that.
Oh, yeah.
But Pau Gasol, you know, he was an all-star at 35, and this guy was still doing his thing up until 36, 37. So let's hope that's the case for Vucevic. And let's hope that's the case if you have them in fantasy or in a dynasty league also. And while we're talking about fantasy guys, we also have a brand new daily fantasy partner at Sports Ethos, Thrive Fantasy. Prop up with Thrive Fantasy on their mobile app. We're at thrivefantasy.com. Use code ETHOS when you sign up to get 100% deposit match bonus on your first deposit up to $100, plus either 2 or 4 free game tickets to play. Pick player props on the biggest names playing every night. Score points when your props hit, and the players with the most points win a share of the nightly prize money. And check out our Sports Ethos DFS team, which includes me, your guy, Keith Cork, or podcast for advice on winners. Again, that code is ETHOS over at thrivefantasy.com. I like to just give a little growl there at the end.
Love it. Sounds good.
Let me see how my Thrive Fantasy lineup's doing tonight. Probably not too high. Yeah, I'm not doing so high. I don't think I'm going to win there. Oh, rough. Anyways, we'll skip that. No, man. So moving on. I'd also like to talk to you guys just about the trade deadline coming up here, obviously. You know, we're going to get talked about this ad nauseum for the next, you know, 2 weeks. It's just every year. It's just what happens. But Buzz, let me throw it to you since, you know, you're new to the show and we haven't heard your take yet. So do you think the Bulls necessarily need to make a big splash and get a big name? Or do you think, you know, making a move more on the fringes is what you expect from the Bulls here at the trade deadline?
I don't know what to expect because Arturas Karnišovas and Mark Eversley have blown me away since they've walked in the front door. So I really don't know what to expect, to be 100% honest with you. If I want a title this year, I need a trade. I need a decent trade of magnitude that's impactful, not just a little piece. And that goes to guys like Coby White being discussed or Patrick Williams being discussed. Now with me on Bulls on Tap and with my dude, Bull Scripted Goose, whatever people want to call him today, you know, he kind of teeter totters on what to do with Patrick Williams because I want to keep Coby White. And I know a lot of people are like, oh my God, but Patrick Williams is way higher upside. Well, no shit. That's why he's going to give you more value. But Coby White brings you something that's more valuable to this season. And if you're trying to win this season, that's bench scoring. And that's what he gives you, a spark plug off the bench. And the second thing, he's available because Pat's hurt. So in my mind, if we can find a forward at the four spot that is versatile, that can hit some threes, that can rebound the ball a bit, and it takes Patrick Williams, then so be it. I'm not – the future's not guaranteed. And you saw that against who's that? Oh, Zach didn't play against Boston, against Golden State. You saw that against Golden State when Zach went up for the offensive rebound and tweaked his knee, and my season flashed before my eyes because I'm like, God damn it.
Right.
I'm like, you know, like, no.
Yeah.
So right now where I'm at, I'm not attached to Patrick Williams like a lot of Bulls Nation is. And that's not to say that they're wrong. They might not be wrong. They might be right. I could be a moron. Pair him with Cade Cunningham over there, and Detroit's a problem for years possibly. I think the Jeremy Grant rumor dies today, though, because it's reported that he does not – he wants to be the featured option in an offense.
Right.
So if that's what you want to do, go ahead and keep rotting in Detroit. That's fine with me. You know, but go do your due diligence on the trade market. Go see who you can find. And I think that they need to make a – if they want to beat somebody, if they're fully healthy right now without Patrick Williams, and I don't even think Pat makes that much of a difference because his first five-game sample size, I know it was only five games. It was bad. It was bad. He was not good. But that's because he's with new teammates. You know, I understand that. But that's going into playoff time if he does come back, too. You're going to have those growing pains in the playoffs. And what do you want to do in the playoffs? You want to win. Go get somebody experienced. Go get somebody that complements the talent that you have here right now and go towards a championship. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, a couple of Jeremy Grant reports today. Detroit's now asking for two first-round picks. Bulls don't have that. Or a first-round pick and a high upside young player, so that's probably Patrick Williams. And then also Jeremy Grant, like you said, he has little interest in joining a team where he doesn't feature as a primary offensive option. He also wants to sign an extension in the ballpark of 4 years, $112 million this offseason. And obviously, obviously we got to pay Zach his money. So I just – Bulls fans, I'm sorry. I don't see that happening, man. That's all according to Jake Fisher. Yeah, give me your thoughts here, Trey. You know, obviously you and I, we're both kind of in the opposite camp here of Buzz, where, you know, we want to kind of see what Patrick Williams can do next season. I think it's more about next season than this season for us. So what are your thoughts there about what Buzz just said?
I don't disagree that, especially if he's going to be out until the playoffs, if you're looking to win a title this year, you have to look to move him. For me, I'm hoping he gets back on the early side of the timetable and he gets to, say, play, you know, 20 to 15 regular season games with this team, and they can find a way for him to slot in and to get a rhythm. For me, I don't know that I would trade him for Jeremy Grant, even if Grant didn't want to be the focal point. I just don't know that he's enough to push the Bulls over the top.
Right.
For me, I'm not super opposed to trading him. I like the opinion of, he has so much more value, so keeping Coby White is the better option because I think Kobe's showing to be a winning player, I think is what Billy Donovan was quoted as saying. So for me, I'm not opposed to trading Patrick Williams as much, especially depending on his health, which we just, you know, we're not privy to. But for me, it's got to be something better than Jeremy Grant. I don't know what that is.
No, that's a perfect – so that leads me to my next question here for you guys. And Trey, you can answer this first. If the Bulls do make a trade, what's a win for you there? I mean, is it a finals appearance? Is it a second-round victory? I mean, what are we looking to do if we pull off a trade for a, we'll say, Jeremy Grant-type player or better?
Oh, you want me to go first? I think you got to make the conference finals.
Conference finals.
I think you have to make the conference finals. And at least be competitive. I don't think you can get swept. You got to, like, push it to six.
What do you think, Buzz? What's a win there if you make a trade?
It's got to be conference finals or finals, man. It has to be. Like, we have to accept this. We just had this whole thing about Vooch. We need to talk about – I mean, well, not right now, but we need to think about DeMar DeRozan too. Mm. DeMar DeRozan's having, like, the best season he's ever had in his life. Sure. Right now. Mm-hmm. That's not guaranteed next year, man. That's not guaranteed next year. And he's been struggling over the last little bit with having his guys out and stuff like that. I think he'll get back to it. Like, I think he'll be all right. But listen, this guy is putting up MVP numbers. He was in the MVP conversation, featured everywhere, whether that's on, you know, your ESPNs, your Fox, whatever. He was everywhere.
Yeah.
We don't know if that happens next year. So if they make a big trade, that's because this window that Arturis and Mark Eversley built is open now. It might not be open next year. So, hey, you better figure it out, because if they do make a trade, that's why I want to make a trade so bad. I don't think the East is just going to keep getting better. Cleveland's going to get better. Detroit's going to get another high pick. You know, like, these other teams are going to keep getting better.
The Bulls, well, what do you think?
You know, stay relevant.
What do you think about getting better, though, Buzz? Not necessarily, you know, making a trade, but getting better through the buyout market. You're going to have guys like
possible.
Yeah, like Robert Covington's probably going to be available. Yeah, Torrey Craig. Yeah. I mean, if they don't get traded, obviously, they'll be in the buyout market. So I think, you know, there might be some value out there. Would you be okay with a move more like that?
Of course. Anything that helps complement the team, of course. Yeah. But when we're talking about, like, me, where my vision is, and I could be completely ignorant and put my homer on the table right now, but, like, I look at the Eastern Conference. I look how it looks. Kyrie Irving not being able to play in New York in the playoffs. Let them win the number one seed. Give them the home court advantage. Go ahead. Go ahead and give it to them. The window's open.
Who would you say? All right, we're moving Patrick Williams. What do you think is a good? What are you looking to get back? Is it Jeremy Grant?
It's either Grant or Barnes, maybe even Collins. I'd be interested in John Collins.
You're on that John Collins.
Rumored to want out, and he's a defensive guy that can board, that can rebound. Even if it's not scoring, we still get two major needs in that trade. Two major needs in that trade where he can operate inside if he wants, because Vooch can go out. Mm-hmm. Like, that's fine. Like, just something that complements the players well to actually give you a legitimate chance. Like with Rocco or Larry Nance or whoever everybody else wanted to kind of trade for earlier in the season. Like, those guys are the guys when we're talking about, well, I don't really think they put them over the edge. The reason I was for Jeremy Grant, and I still kind of am if it happens, I've seen him score 20 points in the NBA in a game. He's averaged 20 points a game. I've seen him do that. I've seen him beat the shit out of us before. I've watched that happen. I watched him in Team USA. I know that this guy has talent, but if it's not up here for him and those reports are true that he doesn't, I'm pointing at my brain for the listeners. If it's not, you know, in between the ears for him to be a third to a fourth option, then absolutely not.
Yeah.
I don't want to bring bad juju into the locker room.
Yeah. I think when it comes to John Collins is the most recent, trade bait that everyone's talking about on NBA Twitter pretty much for the Bulls. And I think when it comes to John Collins, I think my reservations are what you just said there is, you know, I don't know if he wants to come and be behind Zach LaVine and behind DeMar DeRozan and basically behind Vucevic. I mean, I don't know if it'd be a toss up there, but either way, I just don't think he has interest in that. I think he wants a bigger role just like Jeremy Grant does.
Can I point out he plays in Atlanta where they run the same thing over and over, Capella, Trae Young, pick and roll over and over. We've watched John Collins finish those lobs from Trae Young. Imagine if he could be the guy running the pick and roll, because in Chicago he can be, because like Buzz said, Vucevic can step out. So you have John Collins running that pick and roll and being able to be that dive guy. I think John Collins, one of his quotes was winning covers up a lot. And I think he was happy to play his role last year when they were in the playoffs and they were having all that success.
Right.
So to me, I think, and, you know, I was hoping Buzz didn't mention him because I wanted to drop that hammer. He's the guy that I think I would
trade Patrick man.
Williams for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the guy
I love that trade
for, because I think the fit is perfect for what the Bulls are kind of looking for.
Yeah.
I guess I'm more.
I agree. Good. Because look at him. 43%, boys. 43% from 3-point land this year on 3.3 attempts. He has raised his game up. If I can snag him and go into the playoffs with Ball, LaVine, DeRozan, Collins, and Vucevic all day long. If that takes Patrick Williams and the Portland pick, okay, whatever. Yep. Like, you know, I might not be able to keep the guy. You contract year, correct? I mean, he's in a contract. Yeah. Oh, no.
Can I point out real quick also that the Bulls – the Bulls on their catch and shoot shots, they shoot 60% unguarded. The Hawks only shoot 50%. So he would also be getting more wide open looks.
Mm. Yeah, no, that's a great pickup for the Bulls. Honest to God, that'd be amazing.
Well, maybe we'll see. We'll see if the Hawks are interested in giving the Bulls John Collins. But speaking of giving, stop giving your personal information to your ISP. On top of overcharging, your ISP is allowed to legally sell your browsing history to third-party advertisers for a ton of cash. Take your privacy back with ExpressVPN. Head to our special promotional link at expressvpn.com/hoopball. Yes, we are Sports Ethos. We used to be Hoopball. It is still Hoopball. Deal with it. H-O-O-P-B-A-L-L. To get 3 bonus months on a 12-month subscription, it's super easy. Turning it on just takes one click, and it works great with streaming services like Netflix or sports packages like League Pass that Buzz was talking about earlier. Once more, that's expressvpn.com/hoopball. Grab those 3 bonus months now. Go do it. So, yeah, we got to move on, guys. We are running up against it here a little bit. I do want to talk and hit on Ayo Dosunmu. Ayo has been playing lights out, obviously, the last couple of games. Obviously, he's had a way bigger role than he's ever meant to have. So that does play, you know, a role in this, obviously. But over the last 3 games, he's averaging 12 points, 5.3 assists, and 1.7 steals and 0.7 blocks. So just doing it all. And then over the last 2 games, he's averaging 18 points, 8 assists, 2.5 steals, and a block. Obviously, it's a very small sample size, but man, this kid's been incredible, man. Thoughts on Trey? Give me your thoughts here on Ayo. Does Ayo's emergence? Let me ask you this question: does Ayo Dosunmu's emergence make Kobe White a little bit more expendable? I know Buzz just talked about Kobe being important. I do agree with that. I think his offense is important. But if you have a chance to make a move like we're talking about here to get a wing player that's going to help us, and Kobe White's a part of that trade, does having Ayo give you that thought process to tell you, hey, maybe I can get rid of Kobe White and get this other player back?
I don't think so, because I think they give you 2 different things off the bench. Sorry to kill your buzz on that one, but I just think they offer 2 different things. And I like the pairing of them 2 eventually coming off the bench and being like a duo unit. I think they complement each other well. And so for me, it's more they do opposite things. So Ayo's emergence doesn't do anything for Kobe for me, but I do think he deserves to be talked about as an all-rookie first-team guy after this little run.
Yeah, and I did pull up the rookie ladder, actually. I forgot about that. Thanks for mentioning that, Trey. He is tied, and this is as of 6 days ago, by the way, so this is before his big blow-up games, but he is tied for 10th with Cam Thomas of the Brooklyn Nets on the Kia rookie ladder, behind Omer Yurtseven, Chris Duarte, Jalen Green, Herb Jones. So I would think he jumps at least some of those guys in this next iteration. But Buzz, what are your thoughts here on Ayo and Kobe and all that situation?
Oh, 2 straight double-doubles for Ayo Dosunmu. I loved him out of Illinois, which is great. I'm an Illinois fan just because I'm from Illinois. I didn't go to college, but I love Illinois. But, you know, I loved him when he was, you know, reading about him in high school when he was here in Chicago. The fact that he's here now and he's doing what he's doing is not really surprising. The 3-point shot's actually a little bit surprising. That's surprising to me.
Right.
The confidence that he played with, if you just watched him with the Illini, you would got that from him. I love what he's doing. As far as him and the whole Kobe White thing, they complement each other real well. And Ayo Dosunmu's first double-double of 21 points and 10 assists, he helped run that offense, which did what? It unlocked Kobe White to score that ball. And that is something that I really think is beneficial. But you could be like, oh, well, they have Caruso too. They absolutely do. I don't mind having a scoring microwave in Kobe White and 2 bulldogs defensively like Ayo and Caruso playing alongside of them and staggering lineups like that. You always have a defender with Ayo or Caruso in. You always have scorers with Zach and Kobe when Kobe comes in the game, you know. So I don't really think I think they're, like Trey said, you know, I actually agree with him there. They're 2 different players. And I love what they've done together. Honestly, I really like what they've done together. I think that they've been a great little duo off of that bench. And I think they're just going to get better as the season goes on.
It's been great to see
the right note to end the show on with him agreeing with me. I appreciate that.
Yeah. No, yeah. Ayo is shooting 43.9% from the 3-point line, obviously, which I do believe you'll see some kind of regression there, but, I think that's really, I think that will stick for the most part. I think he probably ends up above 35% on the season. One last question here before we end this show here. And I'll shoot it to you first, Buzz. Over under on Ayo's points when we become fully healthy, 22 minutes. Do you think he's going to go over under? He's averaging 20.8 minutes on the season.
Fully healthy?
Fully healthy team. How many minutes does Ayo get?
18.
Okay.
18. If everybody's healthy, 18 right now. Yeah. Who does he take minutes from?
Yeah, exactly.
I just don't. It's tough. I don't know. That's where I don't envy Billy Donovan right there. Mm. You know, like I'm like that is a even though it's a fun job. Don't get me wrong. I'd love to do the job, but I mean that's a hard decision to make.
Yeah.
Like that's a good problem to have too. But I think probably 18 minutes is fair. 18 minutes per game.
Yeah. Trey, what's your thoughts? Over under 22 minutes.
Under, I'd say around 20, 18, right, like 20, 18, that kind of spot right there. I think with his length, you can get away playing him at small forward, you know, anywhere. And, you know, if teams are playing smaller, you can maybe throw him at the four. But it's hard to find minutes for all of these guys when everybody's healthy.
Sure is.
Good job, guys. Okay, so we are going to end this show here. But, hey, quickly, before we sign off, we want to also remind you all to use coupon code HOOPBALL20 at manscaped.com for 20% off your order and free shipping. And also check out our pals at mybookie.ag. Use code HOOPBALL on the third page of sign up to unlock deposit match bonuses there as well. Buzz, man, it's been great. I'm Keith Cork. You can find me on Twitter at BSBP. Keith and Trey, where can the good people find you?
On Twitter at FinalFinally.
And Buzz, where can people find you, my man?
You can find me at BuzzOnTap on Twitter. You can find all of our work at OnTapSportsNet.com.
And please, please, please go follow the show at EthosBulls, guys. Follow us. Give us a 5-star review. Also, especially if you're on iTunes, let us know if we're doing well. Let us know what we're not doing well. Just leave us 5 stars, man. It's going to help us grow this show. So thanks again to our guest, Buzz. And we will talk to you guys after the game tomorrow. Then, Bulls.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max 1 offer per account.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.